Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Hesitate in the presence of my adversary. Negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ.
Right, here we are. It is Wednesday night, and we are live with another God is Alive and Well in the Bakken. A little different show tonight because I am alive and well in the seat of my car, and Leanne and I are taking a couple days and going to Bismarck, spend time with God, things accomplished, and going to do my best to have a show here. So here's how this works. If tonight I'm driving along and all of a sudden my voice disappears, just give me a second. Don't hang up. I might be driving behind a butte. Or we might just be driving by a grassy butte. Most of all, I'm in really good hands, and tonight I'm the passenger. Woo, Jesus. But I speak this over you right now, if you're listening while you're driving. I speak the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. I declare, in the mighty name of Jesus, the angels of the Lord surround you, protect you, keep you safe in all your ways. I declare you will not dash your foot against a stone. I declare all the animals and the birds and the fuzzies and the flies and the furries and the jumpies stay in their environment, which is not the road. We declare right now in the mighty name of Jesus, the wonderful, awesome hand of the Lord that is with us every single day of our life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay, that wasn't a grassy butte. That was a weedy butte. Anyways, glad to have you with us tonight. I'm going to talk about the coronavirus again because it's important that we deal with it. Can we? Can I use your Bible? Thank you, Lord. This thing's gone getting way out of hand here, and people are being really, really stupid. But that's what happens when people trust in the arm of the flesh rather than in the Word of God. The Word of God states that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. Now tonight, I might not be as good at my references as what I normally am, but stick with me because I'm going to speak the word. It's dark in the car. I can't have the light on. Don't want to draw the attention of the flashing red and blue. Leanne seems to be able to get out of it all the time. I don't, but. Anyways, Jesus said, I have given you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means, well, that includes the coronavirus. In the book of Exodus, he said, I'm going to bless your food and your water and take all sickness away from you and put none of the sicknesses that's on the Egyptians on you. Now, the difference between us today and what happened in the book of Exodus is God wants us to have mercy on the whole world. And that day, that disease that God put on Egypt was to straighten them boys out. They wouldn't let it straighten them. They got worse and worse hatred toward the Jews all the time. And God said that it was going to happen that way. But it wasn't because he was forcing him to be that way. Because he hardened his heart, Pharaoh got a hard heart. Hang on just a second. I don't want to bite my tongue. Well, I wasn't going to say that on live radio. So anyways. But think about this fact. Think about this. With this virus. God has given us power over this whole earth. And then He told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. And he gave them the same power that he had. And that was calling things that are not as though they are. Greatest form of faith you'll ever have is when you look at something that doesn't exist and say, come to be. Some people accuse us of being Christian Science. It's not Christian Science. Christian Science calls things that are as though they're not. We call things that are not as though they are. We don't deny somebody might be sick. We deny it's right for sickness to have any power over them. I know this already. Already, around the whole world, there has been more than enough men and women of God who have stood against the coronavirus to have already killed it completely, dead, no effect on the face of the earth. We're going to speak against it ourselves right now here in a little bit. Is that on my Bluetooth or on the speaker? All right. And we're going to add our faith to the faith that's already been used against this. And here's the truth about it. That thing has to lose its power. Now, have you ever noticed that when the hurricanes start happening, they get worse and worse the more they talk about how much the fear is? And the Weather Channel and all the other channels that go and stand there and they got their face in the wind and they're faced with everything. What are they building? They are building fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. When you speak to the mountain to be removed, you have no fear of anything. You have confidence in God that what he said is going to come to pass. What he said. So, I read it last night. I'm going to read it again tonight. I'm going to ask you to agree in faith with me. And we're going to speak the word of God. And we're going to do it right from the book of Psalms, chapter 91. Psalm 91, somewhere here, is there it is, Psalm 91. Now, just remember, I'm driving down the road, and I'll download this and take all the pauses out, but it's all right. No, I'm not driving. I've done that a few times in my life. But tonight, I have an excellent chauffeur. And besides her excellence, besides that, she's pretty. And she's a good driver. So, oh my goodness. Let's go, phone. So, when we come against something like this, the important thing that we have to do is we've got to speak the word, because it's the word that God is going to bring to pass. You and I do not have any ability in our own strength, in our own ability to destroy viruses, except when we're standing and talking and speaking according to the word of God. As soon as we start doing that, then all of a sudden, we have great power and authority over this stuff. Now, just like at 28, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. It's no different with how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and how God anointed Samuel John Cottle of Nazareth and you, Bill Jones Sr. It doesn't matter. Once you find out who you are in God, God anoints you with his spirit to go. As soon as you're born again, he wants you to already be telling his story wherever you go. What is his story? How you found God. That his story in you, words to the people you influence, nobody else will reach him like you. That's what makes us all witnesses. Revelation chapter 1, we read it last night. He makes us prophet and priest and king in our own lives. Actually, it said priest and king. So that was just a slight preacher exaggeration. But somewhere it talks about prophet. The way you prophet, the way you prophet, the way that you prophesy your own future and become your own prophet is by speaking the word and declaring the thing. And many people get this stuff way out of whack. And when we start talking it, they just shut you off. Don't shut it off. Listen. Just listen. And hear. Hear what we're saying. And if you don't understand it or you think we're way off, then send me an email and say, explain it to us. I do my best to say what God gives me to say here every night, every time I'm on here. But I know this. If I don't know what your question is, then I'm challenged to get the word of God applied to the exact place where you need it. And that's what I want, is for the word of God to be applied exactly where you need it. I got, like I tell people all the time, I got a whole head full of knowledge. I got a whole life full of experience. I got enough stories that we can talk to tomorrow night at midnight. You'll fall out of your chair with all the stories I got. But all of those become so much more powerful when we can apply it right where you're at. But you're going to tell me that you're going to move the whole show just for me? Certainly. If you're the only one asking the questions, then you're going to be the one that gets the benefit of the whole show. Because we want you to be strong. And the way that you're going to get strong is that we put the word of God to you right where you need it. Hey, look at there. In 27 miles, we're going to be going by the grassy butte. Isn't that a cool situation? So, back to the Psalm 91. This is how we confront the devil. I'm going to start my prayer. It's going to be a long prayer, you might think. It may seem like I'm just talking, but it's me speaking to our enemy. All right? And you take the word of God, you make it personal, you change some pronouns, you change some adverbs, and you turn this the word of God into a sword in your hand. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul's talking about the armor. The only offensive weapon we have, and it's the only one we need. Paul said, you take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you wield it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And here's the thing about the word. It pierces asunder. What does it pierce asunder? The soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow, and the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. That's what's going to happen right now. When I grab a hold of this word and I begin to speak it and use the word of God, the sword of the spirit, against our enemy and against this virus. This virus has to bow. Honestly, folks, the biggest problem with the virus is people have made it something that it ain't. It's not really any more powerful than the common cold. And if all of us will use wisdom, it'll just die and go away. The biggest problem people have is They're filled with fear. Well, get rid of the fear. Get rid of the fear. I mean, let's just say a couple really quick points. Number one, get extra sleep. Don't stretch your body past what it should. I know I'm preaching to myself, but that's okay. I don't mind preaching to myself. I'll amen myself and take an offering and sow a good seed all at the same time. Get good sleep. Number two, eat right. Some of you don't eat right. Get some vitamins. I asked one of the greatest pharmacists in the world, literally. Only seven guys like him in the whole world. I said, do you take vitamins? He goes, yeah, but I don't take vitamins because they're going to give me my stuff. He said, I take vitamins to eat right because my food doesn't have a proper nutrition. I'm like, wow, there's an interesting statement. So I recommend you take some vitamin C. That's a good one to take, isn't it? And zinc. You can't go wrong in taking those. Fortify your system. You ready? Number four. You know what number four is? Drink lots of water. Walla, 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 walla. Drink lots of it. Keep yourself well hydrated. There's some real basic things you can do to keep your immune system up. And number five, which is the most important of them all, is remember, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. And he gives life to your mortal body. Now, with that kind of process going on, you win. When you get this revelation that the Spirit of God lives inside every cell of your body, you're not only gonna resist corona, you're gonna resist everything else. And it'll never have to get on you again. Some of you have spent your lifetime saying, well, you know, it's spring. Every spring I get a cold. Well, you better stop saying that, because one of these times you might get one that's bigger than you. The declaration. By stripes I'm healed, and the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. No cold has any power over my body. Virus, die. Just say it. Virus, die. That's it. Wow. But what if I don't believe it? Well, get sick then. That's not a nice thing to say, is it? All right. In the name of Jesus, listen to me. I'm bringing to you the word of God. Now, this is why I say, if you don't understand, you got to send me an email. Send me a text. And say, hey, explain this part of it. I don't get it. I think by what I've taught, everybody that's heard me should have got the whole picture already. I'm such a proficient teacher. One guy said, and you're not very proud either, are you? Well, that's just the truth of all of life. Thing you'll ever do is get the word of God into the area where you need it the most. And we have the ability to do that on the show. Very seriously. Very, very seriously. And that's what I love about this radio program. Now, here we go. Psalm 91. Coronavirus. According to Ephesians chapter 1, Jesus has been seated high above everything you are. And Romans chapter 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Not even a bug. And God's love is health and strength and power and might and faith. That's God's love. God's love was so strong he caused Jesus to go to the whipping pool and take stripes on his back so that by his stripes we could be healed and live in health. That's God's love. God's love is, he gave us his word that teaches us to speak the word. To speak the word. So I encourage you to speak the word. Now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, coronavirus. And Jesus said in two places, Matthew 16:16 and Matthew 18:18, whatever we bind on this earth is bound in heaven. We bind you, influenza. We add our faith to everybody else's faith that's spoken that you must die. Die, virus, die. And have no effect. We declare that doctors will just stand in shock on how fast the coronavirus just disappears. And people will mock. They'll mock these liars in the media. And their companies will completely lose. And they'll have no ability to sustain themselves because they lie and they cheat and they steal and they cause fear in people. We declare it now. Now, I'm going to speak now, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Say it with me. I'm in the secret place right now. See, some of you don't realize that. This is the secret place you're in right now. We're praying. This is it. This is the secret place of the Most High. And then it says, because we're here and we're talking to God, we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's that shade. That shadow. That's protection. That's strength. We abide there under the shadow of the Almighty. And then the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. You, Lord, are our refuge. You are our God. In you we trust. Right now. Right now. We trust in you right now. We're like every other Christian around the world that's speaking against this stuff. We declare, our is in you, Lord. Verse 3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from any pestilence. The perilous pestilence. People are saying it over and over. Well, you just don't want to get it. Well, you're speaking fear. We bind you, fear. We've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we speak to you now, coronavirus. Die. We're not afraid. Our God has delivered us from every perilous pestilence. Every one of them. I like verse 4. He will cover us with his feathers. Under his wings, we will take refuge. We take refuge right now. Under his wings. Right now, we take refuge. Your truth, the truth of God's holy word, is our shield, is our buckler, is our strength, is what protects us from all of this stuff. We declare right now, every Christian, every born-again believer gets a hold of this chapter and begins living in it. We declare pastors all over the world grab this chapter and begin to preach it to people. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Father, that you answer that prayer. Under your wings, we'll take refuge. Verse 5. We will not be afraid of terror by day or by night. No matter what somebody says, we'll shut off their stupid mouth so terror and fear doesn't fill our heart. We control our own environment right here, right now, in Jesus' mighty name. in Jesus' name. Say it with me. I will not let fear control my daily life. We will not let fear control our daily life. The pestilence that walks in darkness. No matter who. Well, there you go. Numbers 23:23. There is no witchcraft against the covenant at all whatsoever. There is no witchcraft against the covenant. No matter what witch or demonized person is trying to run all this, we rebuke you now in the name of Jesus. And we will not be afraid of you. And we declare your power over humans to cause them to be afraid is stripped from you. And in the words of the prophetic utterance from Kenneth Copeland, your candle is removed. Because you're standing against one nation under God. Thank you, Father, that we can stand this boldly. No matter who you are, and no matter what you're trying to do, we rebuke you now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we declare you stop peddling the fear. We will not be afraid. We will trust and not be afraid. We speak the word from Isaiah 40. When we walk through the fire, it won't touch us. Through the river, it won't overwhelm us. Because our hope and our trust is in you, Almighty God. We go now to 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand. But it will not come near us. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. Oh, geez. There we go. Hopefully I stayed with you the whole time. Tell somebody's honking on my phone here. Brother John. Love you, Brother John. Thanks for being a part. Now, it says no evil will befall us. Whoops. No, I'm on verse 7. I know how to pray this. I'm trying to stick to these verses so when you're following it, you can do it. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. Thank you, Father. Say it. It will not come near me. It will not come near me. It will not come near me. Only with my eyes will I see the reward of the wicked. Only with my eyes. Because we have made the Lord, who is our refuge, even the Most High, the place of our habitation, He, wow, 7, 8, stop it, crazy phone. No evil shall befall you, there it is, and no plague shall come near your dwelling. He's given his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Say it with me. Thank you, Lord. You keep us in all of our ways. Now just look down at the ground, if you can do it safely, and say, God is keeping me in all my ways. I rebuke anything beside that. In the name of Jesus. Verse 12, in their hands they'll bear you up so you don't dash your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the cobra, on the flu virus, on the flu bug, on any other bug. What did I hear? Something, I ain't going to say the name. All of them lose their power because the power of God is stronger in the earth today than it's ever been. God said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, we receive it. We receive it. Verse 14, because we have set our love upon the Father, therefore he said, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you've known my name. You will call on me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Thank you, Father, that you deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and you show us your salvation. We rebuke you, coronavirus. You don't get to live. You don't get to have strength. You don't get to continue. You don't get to continue. Because of the name of Jesus, we've been given the name that's above every name. We speak the name of Jesus over you, coronavirus. We speak it because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Die. I saw a report that they say it's in 35 states. I rebuke that report. In the name of Jesus. Say it with me. I rebuke that report. In the name of Jesus. We're not going to put up with that. We're not going to accept that. We're not going to agree with that. We declare in the name of Jesus, people are strong. The virus scare is over. And we're back to normal living life in America, realizing these guys pull this stunt all the time, and they expect us to bow to their fear. And we will not bow in the name of Jesus Christ of men. Now, Jesus, we give you glory. We give you glory. You've been raised high above all the earth, and you are seated tonight at the right hand of the majesty on high. Coronavirus didn't freak you out in any sense of the word. Heaven is as strong and healthy as it's ever been. And above all things you wish, and we would be in health in every part of our body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. We give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, that when the children of Israel, they sinned, they did wrong. You told Moses, make a snake and put him on a pole, raise it up, so that anybody that sees it can be healed. Thank you that you said about you, Jesus, if you would be lifted up on the pole, you would draw all men unto you. Well, they lifted you up on the cross, and you've drawn all men unto us now, to you. You're drawing all men unto you now. And you give them life and strength. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the stripes. Book of Isaiah and the book of Peter says, by your stripes we are healed. We speak over every person that's got the coronavirus. Wherever you are in America, you're healed. In the name of Jesus. And may the believers in that community stand up strong and say, nope, you're healed. And doctors just shake their head and say, well, I just can't see anything like that ever before. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You know, I feel instructed to tell you a story. It's a really interesting story of the power of God. And I'm going to tell you that you hear these stories, and that from them you gain faith. Say it. Say this with me. The stories I hear from a trusted source, I receive them as the word of God. In the name of Jesus. Here's the story. I have an aunt and an uncle. Well, let me see it. How do I say this? My dad's brother and sister-in-law were great Baptist Christians their whole life. And I say that on purpose because they were. They were very Baptist. Uncle Stan still is a good Baptist. And Aunt Betty was typical Baptist lady that could cook the best church gathering. She was a wonderful lady, loved God with all of her heart. All their children served the Lord. But it came down to toward the end of Aunt Betty's life, and they said she had cancer or something. I'm not real sure. I think that's what it was. And so she went into the hospital to have that operation done. They lived in Midland, Michigan their whole life. You know, Uncle Stan worked for Dow. And so she went into the hospital to get it taken care of. And she was a little concerned, but she asked a lot of people to pray for her. And she prayed. And she just said, you just felt like everything was going to be all right. And so as she went into the operating room that day, she was just praying, talking to God. When they gave her the anesthetic, she was talking to God and telling him how much everything she was putting her trust in him. They rolled her into the operating room and went through the initial procedures of this is what this operation is and all that. And about time were getting ready to get started, God spoke to Aunt Betty and said, everything's going to be all right. And she said, when she came out of the anesthetic, she said, man, it was just amazing because when he said that to me, it just filled me with peace, which was a little unusual for her to talk like this. But, you know, that's what happened. The operation was successful. It was supposed to be like a 3-hour operation, and it took like a half an hour or something. So when the operation is all over and she's back in the recovery room and, you know, you're coming out of anesthetic and they're making sure that you can see and you can talk and you can get up and go to the bathroom, you know, as the anesthetic wears off. The doctor and all the operating nurses walk in the room. They say, hi, Betty, can we talk to you? And she said, well, sure. What's happening? What are you guys all doing here? You know, when the surgeon and all of his aides come walking in the room after you've had an operation, that means one of two things. We're either having a party or they got some bad news, you know. She's like, what's happening? They're like, well, we had an interesting situation happen today when we began the operation on you. And we just thought we'd ask you a few questions. And she said, okay. The surgeon said, did someone talk to you about the time your operation started? And she said, well, yes. And they said, well, who was it? She said, well, God spoke to me. And the doctor said, well, what did he say? Well, he said, Betty, everything is going to be okay. And he said, we know because all of us heard the same voice say the same words to you out loud in the operating room. She goes, what? He goes, we heard that voice say everything's going to be okay. And of course, Aunt Betty, she was not on that other edge of radical Christian. She was very conservative Christian. She goes, is that right? And the doctor said, and we have to tell you that everything is really okay. because this was supposed to take, you know, and then he gave the numbers, like 3.5 hours, and it took 22 minutes or something. She said, well, isn't that something? And the doctor said, is this something that God does with you all the time? She goes, well, I just thought he was talking to me. I didn't know you could hear it. So several of the nurses is like, I want to know this God you know. It was amazing. It was a Catholic hospital that she was in. They called the chaplain. He was in the room. And he's like, you really heard God talk to you? And the doctor's like, well, we already talked to her. And he's like, are you serious? You know, and so now the chaplain's believing. And the Catholic chaplain gets the whole story, gets it totally down, and Aunt Betty gets him born again. Gets the surgeon born again, gets the nurses born again, and the chaplain goes and tells his priest, and his priest says, I have never heard anything like this in my whole life, and asks to see Aunt Betty. Aunt Betty, here she is. She went in the hospital to get some kind of surgery for cancer, and now she's out being an evangelist. She's in the Catholic Church. Well, the interesting part about that is if you know anything about Catholics and Baptists, they don't usually get along too well. Just tell the Catholics, you're going to hell. And if you're a Baptist, I'm not accusing you of it. And hopefully you don't ever do that because you don't know who's going to hell. And how dare you judge? But that's going to get me on another whole message if we let it. Get this story. The Catholic priest gets saved. He gets born again. Miracles start happening in that Catholic church. See, just because you haven't seen signs, wonders, and miracles doesn't mean they don't happen. They're happening all over the world every day. People are being raised from the dead all over the world. Well, I never. How dare you say it? Well, I'll tell you how dare I say it. John chapter 10. John chapter 14. John chapter 15. John chapter 16. Jesus said, the things that I do, you are going to do, and greater in my name. You and I have been deputized to use the name of Jesus and bring the kingdom of God to this earth like Adam and Eve were supposed to do. We're born again. Our spirits are brought to life. We're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We have the Word of God, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Son, the 9 fruit of the Spirit. We can't lose. We can't lose. And everywhere we go, we need to be taking dominion. Once again, I'm going to say to you, use wisdom during the flu season. Go up and kiss people on their lips that's been sniffling and hacking and wheezing and coughing. Don't do that. Use some wisdom. But at the same point, don't hesitate putting your hand on their shoulder and say, I rebuke you, you foul virus. Get off their body in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say something. If you're somebody who uses the Lord's name in vain and you use his name as a curse word, you're probably not going to be able to use his name and speak to a virus and tell it to get off somebody's body. But I can tell you something. If you'll let God help you with that vice of cursing and using his name, and you'll bring honor back to his name, he'll let you use his name and rebuke devils and help people be set free. I know all kinds of people who said all kinds of bad words, but guess what? God still used them. Have you ever said a bad word, Leanne? It's only you. Father, forgive me. I just sinned. Amen, amen, amen. I've said bad words. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Jesus' blood was shed on purpose so that we could receive the righteousness of God in our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think that's a really cool story about Aunt Betty, because bottom line is, now, Stephen or Carolyn or Marilyn, if you're listening and I hack the story up, then sometime besides tonight, call in and tell the story. Because I don't ever embellish a story just so it sounds better. I just don't ever do that. Why? There's too many good stories in this world to make something up. Why would we make up a story? I just thought it was awesome to see, because that's my own aunt who I watched my whole life be a good Christian and yet conservative in her stance about the Holy Spirit and the gifts. But God used her at the end of her life to see miracles. And the people that, you know, the Baptists say, well, they'll never be born again. Yes, they can. Quit walking down those denominational lines like that. Goodness sakes alive. If you believe your denominational handbook more than you believe the Word of God, you are a mess. You are a mess. You are a mess. And quit being a mess. Don't do that. It's only the Word of God that is able to make you stand. That's in the book of Psalms somewhere. And when you get that, the revelation of that, my goodness, does it ever come, just become amazing. Absolutely amazing what God has the ability to do in our lives. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, all of that was about the coronavirus, and all of that was about the power of Jesus over every miss or fear or anything. You know, I think this is where that ranch is, right in here. Yeah. Now, I'm a whole lot better at giving you verses of scripture and everything. But, of course, we're driving down the road and there's traffic and there's wide open fields and then there's no traffic. Just a lot in my eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for verses of scripture. Amen. I want to tell you another story. Can I tell you another story? I like stories. You know why? Because they help people stand up and be strong. You know, the story in the New Testament of Jesus, it seems like it's Luke chapter 7, Mark chapter 4, right in there somewhere. It's the story of the man bringing his son to the disciples to have the demon cast out. And in the story, when they couldn't cast him out, Jesus said, what's going on? And they told him, and Jesus said, bring him here. And they said, loose him, let him go. And he's like, no, he'll run and jump in the fire and in the water. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out. Now, one of the coolest stories that I've ever heard told about that in our modern day is a story told by my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley. And he tells a story of being in Africa. I think he was with Brother Jerry Savelle. They were doing mission work in Africa. And, of course, whenever you go to a foreign country like that and you're in country, you run night and day because you want to get as much accomplished while you're there. And you can sleep when you get home. You can sleep on the plane. But while you're there, most of them are going to work hard. They said of Dr. Lester Summerall, very few young men could keep up with him at his pace on the mission field. he just became something very, very much different. In the name of Jesus. Now, so they're on this trip and they're in Africa and they're winding down. And I think he said it was a Sunday afternoon. Anyways, whatever it was in the afternoon, they had laid down to take a nap and just catch a real quick nap and refresh their bodies. And I remember Dr. Barker saying, and I was tired. And he said, I was glad to lay down. And he said, as soon as I laid down, God said, I want you to get up. And like, oh, I don't want to get up. I'm going to lay here and go to sleep. And then somehow in the story, God gives Pastor the understanding that there's a path somewhere he needs to find. And he gets up and go gets, I think it was Brother Jerry, and they're like, we got to go. God's got some work out in the jungle for us. And they find a little local, and Pastor said, there's this trail down here somewhere on this road that leads to a village, and I need you to find it. And he said, I ripped a $100 bill in half and gave him half of it and said, when you find the trail, I'll give you the other half. Well, of course, a $100 bill to that guy in the 80s was like, a $100 American was like, he was a rich man. However, it did help him work real hard. And sure enough, he came back and said, I found the trail. And off they went down this trail. Of course, remember Africa, you know, down the trail could be a black mamba, a lion, a tiger, you know, water buffalo, whatever. And he said, as we were walking down that trail, all of a sudden, we can hear people singing. And he said, sure enough, we come into a little clearing, and there's a little building, obvious like a church building. You can see it's kind of got churchy stuff about it. And he said, people in there. He said, obviously, they're Christians, and they're worshiping the Lord, because you can tell worship from just banging drums, tambourine, the noise. And he said, as we walked up, here's this girl chained to a post outside the church. And he said, it's just like a dog. The chain, she's drugged the chain around in circles and made an indentation in the ground. And, you know, he's got the interpreter and they go in and tell him they're Christians. And, Pastor asked, what's up with this girl? They're like, oh, she has a demon. Well, why you got her chained up? Well, if we unchain her, she runs and jumps in the river and tries to drown herself. And Pastor said, I thought immediately, wow, just like in the story of Jesus. And, of course, they'd already been in Africa for a week or whatever, so they'd cast a lot of demons out by then. And he said, "I if it was Brother Jerry," he said, I looked at him like, I'm going first. they were racing to see who got to test that demon out. Pastor said, loose her. And the guy's like, oh, no, loose her. This is just like the story of the Bible. No. And finally, Pastor said, either you do it or I'm going to do it. Set her free. And they had rebuked the devil. And they took the chains off her. And as soon as they did, she raised her hands and began to shout and praise God for being free. The demon left as soon as they let her go, and she began to praise and worship God. Well, then through the interpreter, Pastor God made sure she was born again, made sure she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you cast a demon out, you want to make sure they're born again, and you want to make sure their spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God and the spirit of Belial cannot function in the same place. Can I get an amen? Amen, amen, sister. Preach it. Do you want to preach now? Right. Well, I can drive if you want to preach. So, you know, that's an amazing story. Right out of the Bible. the exact same thing that happened to Jesus happened right there in front of the eyes. Yeah, we turn up here to the left about another mile. The what? Yeah, we've already passed that. Oh, actually, no, we're not. We're not to the exit yet. We're to that one place. Hey, everybody, we're by that one place. It's got them three poles like that. Them are flag poles. God bless them. Now, here's the rest of that story. Pastor said he got on the plane, and on the way home, he just worshiping God for all that was done. And he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You missed something." Like, oh man, I don't want to miss something. Help me know. I got to fix something. Is there, you know, what's going on? He goes, "No." He goes, in that situation with the young lady. And if you're ever a part of Dr. Barker's Holy Spirit Conference, sooner or later you'll hear him tell the story and you'll see the picture because the picture's there. If you get his book, which I recommend you do, he's got a book that's called God Possessed that tells his story. Go to his website, markdbarkley.com, and buy that book. Amazing book. It's one of them that you'll have a hard time putting down. It is really that good of a story. And it's really that well written. Pastor writes very well. Buy all of his books as far as that goes. He's got a lot of good books. But that one about his life story is really good. Now, he's like, "Well, what did I miss?" And he said, "Well, what was she saying when the demon came out?" He goes, "Well, she was saying, 'Praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God.'" And he said, "Well, what is the language she speaks?" And Pastor's like, "Well, I don't know. She speaks her native." He goes, "Whoa, I was hearing her in English. A manifestation of the Spirit was happening right there." Now, it'd be different if I was telling you a story. I'm fixing to tell you another story right now. And I don't know that story, or I don't know the people in the story, but I've heard the story, and it comes from a good source, and it's a true story. That story I just told, I know Dr. Mark T. Barkley. I know him personally, sat in his office, been in his garage, sat in his truck. He's a cool pastor. Kind of pastor I needed. Thank you, Lord. Now, Dr. Summerall tells a story about Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth had a friend. And maybe it was Howard Carter. I'm not sure. It was one of those two. I think it was Wigglesworth. Had a friend, and as Brother Wigglesworth always did, you were welcome in his house, but not any newspaper or any form of periodical that brought anything except the good news of God's word in his house. They said he prayed every 15 minutes, and every 15 minutes he prayed. And he read the word. No wonder he's so filled with power. A drunken plumber at the age of 40, and by the end of his life, when he was in his 80s, and went to heaven, he had performed some of the most amazing miracles that had ever been seen or heard on earth. But he had a friend that had no legs. And one time he was over visiting this friend, encouraging him in the Lord. And as he left, he said, "You know, you should probably go buy a pair of shoes for yourself tomorrow." And walked out the door. And after he left, the guy said, I was like, "Well, what's wrong with Wigglesworth? What's wrong with Smith? Why would he be so mean to say that?" And the Holy Spirit said to him, to the guy, "Well, he's a prophet. Why wouldn't you believe him?" And the guy's like, "Oh, my Lord, he just spoke a prophetic word over me." He said, "I do. I believe you, Lord, and I'll be established, and I believe the prophet, and I'll prosper." And at 9 o'clock the next morning, he was standing at the door of the shoe shop downtown, or, you know, in his wheelchair. He had no legs below his knees. And he went in the store when they opened it. The guy said, "How can I help you today, sir?" He's like, "I can buy a pair of shoes." And he said, he looked down at his back. He didn't have no legs. And he's like, "All right. What size would you like?" you know, you never know. He might be buying them for somebody else. And he said, well, I think I'd wear like about a 9 or whatever the size was. Would you like wingtips or, you know? I used to know all the names of those shoes, but I spent too long since I looked at them. Dakota Boots had. And the guy told him, and he wanted a pair of black shoes like that. And the guy's like, all right. And he brought them back, and he said, what was I going to do? Just sit them down underneath my leg. And when he sat the shoes down underneath his legs, he grew legs and ankles and feet just like that. And a creative miracle, just like Jesus had, happened right there in England, right in front of that shoe salesman's eyes. I'll bet you that shoe salesman was a different person after that. Can you imagine? You speaking tongues too? No. I just don't know what other words to say right now. See, that's our God. If we listen to the news media, it's bad. It's very bad. Everybody's dying. The whole world's going to die. There's been some plagues that were like that, but pretty much not an since we've had modern medicine, that a human didn't make it happen. Well, there's been a lot of man-made plagues of people trying to destroy humanity. But that was taken care of by God, too. See, all God needs is one of us to stand up and declare, no more curse, no more sickness. Well, that's one of the memes I saw on Facebook. And, of course, you know, when you say that, some people don't believe anything more. But the interesting statement that I saw was there's been a horrible outbreak of some disease every election year. But what are you saying, Brother Samuel? I'm saying there's been a horrible outbreak of some disease every election year. And when you saw that, it went clear back to like 2006. So 2008, 2010, 2012. And when they named him, of course, this is my time of life. Of course, I'm like, well, yeah, I remember that one. Oh, I remember that one. And every single one of them, they said it's just going to just overcome the whole world. And guess what? There were some people that died. There were people whose immune system was probably already compromised seriously. You don't know that they weren't people that didn't take any advice and wasn't careful. I don't know that they were. But you cannot judge any of these things by what happened to some people. Because you don't know the variables of why they caught it and what they did to get rid of it. So quit making it something that's big and bad and horrible. If there's 7 billion people on the earth, and 10,000 people have died from it. Well, that's such a small percentage. Every one of those people are important. Every one of those people are a life, a human. Point is, quit making something that is not a big deal, a big deal, just for the purpose of fear. You know, it's like today. Today was the primary in Michigan. And isn't it something that this morning it broke on the news that 2 cases of coronavirus have been found in Michigan? That broke this morning on the news. Now, I don't know how you... And listen, not the conservative news stations either, the liberal ones. I don't know how you read that for anything except for what it is. And that's not being political. It's just being intelligent. Look at what you see and let it tell you something. Look at what you see and let it tell you something. And there's a lot of wicked people in this earth. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring your vengeance and recompense against those who are so wicked. And they use all of their money to control the masses and dominate people. They've already proved their hearts are wicked. You have said many of them are reprobate and will never change. Then bring the justice. Remove their candle. Remove their ability to influence. Divide their inheritance and all that they have amongst the righteous who will care for these people, not dominate them. Divide the wealth of the wicked amongst us, the righteous. Bring it to us, Lord. We know what to do with it. Bring it to us. We know what to do with it. You've already showed us how to do it. We're in the busy in the process of making it happen. Say this, in the name of Jesus, execute righteousness and justice against all who are oppressed. Psalm 103, verse 6. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Fear itself brings on illness. And like you said, not only does it bring it on, but it leaves you wide open to it. Because when you wrap yourself in fear, your whole system takes on that fear. I saw a friend on Facebook who's been just being a very solid, intellectual, normal, wisdom person, just saying, well, use caution, but for crying out loud, quit being so afraid. And I saw her post this afternoon on Facebook. She said, well, I'm all done talking to you people. All you want to do is argue. I'm just trying to give good common sense. Take all the precautions you can take. Nobody in their right mind is going to tell you not to take a precaution. But in the name of Jesus, quit taking this thing so seriously. And I know some of you think, well, those two statements don't make sense. I know. Live in fear. Run in fear, run and hide, the sky's falling, Chicken Little's everywhere. You know, come on. Get on the side of power and rebuke this thing with us. If you're doing the rebuking, that means you're on the side of win, on the side of offense, on the side of dominate. We speak this now in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, I got to pause for a moment and speak to the driver. So everybody just enjoy the silence. I'm back. I had to give coffee instructions because that's always an important thing to have in your life is coffee. Hopefully this program has come through good for you. You don't ever know until you go back and listen because you don't know how good the cell phone towers are. However, got to go to that one. Thank God. I thank God for America. You know, there's still a mess in America. But this is what we know about the good old US of A. Jesus is named Lord here over and over. And we name him Lord right now. Thank you, Lord, for that. You might even ask that lady in there. She might be able to instruct you. What you need. Thank you. Yeah. Put some cream in it. All right. Let's talk about this speaking to the mountain thing. Mark chapter 11. I know tonight's a little different kind of show, but hey, we're doing it going right down the road, which I think is pretty cool. And gives us the ability to still have a radio program, even though we got to move down the road and do some things. Now, let me do this. Let me do this. I'm gonna pull this up here. There we go. All right, that was just an ad. Here comes Sinet.
Thank you.
All right, so now I'm back, and I'm going to be able, when I get to the hotel, I'm going to be able to download this episode, and then I'll take out all the blank spots. Those of you that might be listening live, you get the benefit of the blank spot, but maybe you were trying to fall asleep anyways. Anyway, I got one friend that told me he listens to this while he falls asleep. He said, "You put me to sleep." I'm like, "I don't know. Is that a good statement or a bad one? What are you trying to say to me?" But anyways, thank you for being a part of this. Now, you know, I got about another 15 minutes here, and then we got to be about our night. I want to say this. You got to realize that what Jesus did, I think it was, well, maybe it's John, I'm not sure. Anyways, the scripture says, of all the things that Jesus began to do and teach. So not only did he teach men, but he did. He said that signs would follow the words we preach if we're believers. But then he showed the same thing to his disciples. Showed it to us. And so, even if you're someone that's not grown up in this kind of a religious indoctrination, religious doctrine, what I'm sharing and ministering here on the program, I encourage you to search the scriptures to see if it's so. There's no eternal value
there.
There's no eternal value to you being religious and talking about God and thinking about God and reading God's book, but it never have any power to you. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Don't be ashamed of the gospel in any sense of the word. And let it have all of the power that it truly has. The gospel is power. But if all you use it for is just to go to church, well, it's never going to have any power for you. And then you're going to be looking at it. Then you're going to be looking at it going, you know, what's going on here? All right. Hold on. I got a whole group of people that's trying to contact me. Well, I tell you what's going to have to happen, folks. I'm going to have to sign off for tonight. Got too much happening, and we've had a good show, and we'll be back again with you tomorrow night about the same time. And remember this: he sent his word and healed their disease. Book of Psalms, Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they which love the law, and nothing will offend them. Psalm 119:165. 105. Thy word is the lamp. Verse 11. What is it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let the word of God light your path for you in everything that you do. As we say every time we come here, remember this: we love you, God loves you, and you are winning. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you tomorrow night.